Amen. How many of you knew we were doing a series? None of us. I don't want to act like I'm kind of finalizing anything the other guys have said because they were kind of standalone messages, but I felt like I felt a bit of a thread there that I noticed that I really wanted to bring out this morning. So, yeah, I might do that. How's everyone doing? Are we all okay? Feeling good? Who's ready for another holiday? Yeah, I'm ready too. I've been back at work for just over a week now, and I'm feeling sorry for myself. So, yeah, time for a holiday. Hey, have any of you noticed that that over time, words can lose their meaning? You say a word over and over again, and suddenly it doesn't even sound like anything. It's like, what does that even mean? I remember fridge, the word fridge. I say it over and over again enough times, it's like, what is that? That doesn't even mean anything to me. There is a word for it, semantic satiation. There you go. That's nothing to do with my word. The more, you know, the more you use a word, sometimes the less it means to us, right? We get familiar with terms. Maybe we overemphasize one particular aspect of a word, an idea. And so the rest of the meaning of that word is lost. And one particular word for me has kind of become a little bit like that, and that word is peace. It's a word that we hear a lot through the Bible. If you can chuck that up on the screen, that'd be awesome. We hear it over and over again. It's a major theme through the Bible, this idea of peace. But because I hear it so much, sometimes I just kind of gloss over it. It's like, just a word, right? Like, grace and peace and love and hope, and it's sort of these long strings of words, and it's just one of those filler Christianese filler words, if you know what I mean. That's just in my own head, right? But I think I want to focus in on this word this morning, peace, because I think it has a lot more to offer us than maybe we realize. The modern meaning of the word, if you'd look it up in the dictionary, I might read it actually so that I don't get it wrong, is freedom from disturbance or tranquility, kind of like that lovely ocean scene there, or a state or a time in which there is no war or that the war has ended. Okay, so that's kind of what most of us would think of as what peace means, right? We're not fighting anyone, there's no one attacking us, so I guess we're in a time of peace. Okay, cool. But it's not the full meaning of the word. And I wanted to just dive in on that today. The reason I do that I'm talking about this word is that we have a baby girl, 9-month-old baby girl, and we named her Shiloh. When we named her that, we heard the name one day, and we thought, that's a beautiful name. And I thought, I think that's a biblical name. And so we looked it up, and it sort of has the essence of the name is someone who comes in peace. I was like, oh, that's a beautiful meaning. Like, that's really cool. And if anything, that's something that we need more of in this world. Each night we pray over her, and I pray that she would know God's peace, his peace would settle on her. And it's like, it's become this theme for me, because I say it all the time. I'm thinking about this word. But when I think of the meaning that we just read, I kind of realize that it's a little bit of a lame meaning, this understanding that I have of the word peace, that it's just an absence of trouble. It's a sort of a negative word, right? Like it doesn't give you anything. It's just you don't have trouble. Everything's at peace, you know, settled. Is that all? Is that all it is? And it's kind of frustrated me that it's mentioned over and over and over right through the Bible, this word peace, but it's sort of an average meaning. It's sort of like, okay, peace. Yeah, okay, no one's fighting. Cool, okay, sweet. And so I've been doing a bit of research on this word. So the original Hebrew word, does anyone know the Hebrew word for peace? Shalom, right? So this is the word that is always translated peace, and it's translated as a single word, peace. But it's so much more than a word. It's a whole kind of idea. So I wanted to have a look at that today. It comes from a root word, which essentially means to be complete, to be whole, and to be sound. So if you can imagine a ship's hull, if it has no cracks or holes in it, it's serving its purpose correctly because it's whole, right? It's sound. And that's the idea with shalom, that your whole life would be like that. It would be complete. It would be full, right? This is what the Jews mean when they say this to each other. It's not just peace. It's that your whole life would have fullness, right? And so that you are in right relationships and harmony with the people around you. Not just you're not fighting, but you actually growing those relationships, and they're positive, that you would be successful and prosperous in what you do, and that you would have victory over your enemies, and you wouldn't be at war, right? So we've often taken that last little bit and made it the whole meaning of peace, and we've forgotten about all the rest. Is this clicking with anyone? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Peace is just average meaning, but this is so much more of a powerful meaning, isn't it? So the Bible brings out two kind of points when we're talking about the word peace. And the first and the kind of the primary one is our peace with God. So Romans talks about this a lot. Romans 5, it talks about how we were once enemies with God, right, in our sin. And so there was this enmity, this right, we're against one another. And because of what God did, Jesus died on the cross, took that sacrifice for us. It's like God, as the judge, has gone, brought the hammer down and said, not guilty, right? And it's sort of declared a state of, we are at peace, right? And in that sense that I was talking about before, there is no war, there is no aggression between us, right? It's just simply a fact. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, you are at peace with God, right? So that's our starting point. But even more than that, God doesn't just stop there. He's adopted us in as sons. So we've gone in this amazing transition from at war or enemies of God through to now God's brought us right in close as his family and his sons. And so that is like the starting point. If we want to talk about peace, biblical peace, we have to start with this understanding that we, in our position, have peace with God, right? It's all good, and there's right relationship there. Like Jesus said, it is finished, right? And then from that point, because I have peace with God now, I have an understanding that things are good between me and God, that he's brought me close, he's my Father, that peace now can flow out into other areas of my life. And I want to talk about that today. That's kind of what I want to focus in on. And it's the second way that the Bible talks about peace, and it's the inner peace, an inner sense that things are okay despite our circumstances, what's going on around us. You see this over and over and over again through the Bible. And it goes past that idea of an absence of trouble or an absence of fighting, right, in our life. It goes past that because it says, even though there's trouble in your life, and even though things around us isn't all honky-dory, there's a settledness in me, and I know that things are being made right, okay? So that's what I want to focus us in on today. Marty last week, I remembered, spoke about Daniel. Do you remember the story of Daniel, right? He was thrown into a den of lions simply for praying to his God, as he had always done. It was an awesome word, a really good reminder for us about just putting in place the things that we need in our lives for when those hard times come. That simple trust in God. See, we don't hear in that story, we don't see Daniel kicking and screaming as he's being thrown into the den of lions, right? It's almost he just accepted that this is how it's going to be. God's going to deliver me. And he finds himself in this thing. And then same with those three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They just find themselves, because they didn't bow down to this idol, find themselves in a huge fire. And we don't see them kicking and screaming either. They're just walking around with somebody else in there with them, right? Paul is probably the most amazing kind of, well, one of the most amazing examples of this. He goes on this long kind of this passage about all the things that he's had to endure for the gospel. So he's had trials. He's been whipped. He's been hungry. He's been sleepless. He was shipwrecked multiple times. Right, this guy had it pretty bad. And if I was to say to him, "You have peace, you know, oh, everything's going to be okay. There'll be just no trouble in your life," he would laugh at me, right? And he would definitely be like, "No, that's not right. Because look at all the things we have to go through," right? And his response, we find in Philippians 4:6, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The word "guard" there is not just simply like a guard in a prison. It's a guard as in a soldier standing post, ready to defend whatever, a city or something. That's the idea here. It's an active word. It's not. So this peace is something that will guard our hearts. It stands guard for us. That's how we have to think about the peace of God in our hearts. It's not a passive word like the absence of trouble, right? It's an active word like when trouble comes, I've got something to stand against that trouble, something to reassure me, to kind of keep me moving forward. It's a much stronger force than what I'd realized, right? This idea of peace. When I was a young fella, back a long time ago when I was a young guy, a couple of years back, I was really scared of the dark. A few more than a couple of years ago, I was a bit scared of the dark, as a lot of kids are, right? And it wasn't that if you'd turn the light off, I would freak out or anything. It was just that when it was dark, I was unsure of what was around me. It was a sense that, I can't see things, so I was a bit nervous, you know. I remember my mum or dad would say, you know, it'd be late at night, we're eating dinner, finish the meatballs, and mum says, "Oh, should we have some dessert?" And I thought, oh, we'd all go, "Yes, mum, we should have some dessert." Okay, go out to the, would you go out to the garage and get the ice cream? Our deep freeze was out in the garage, so off I'd trot off across the deck, and it's late at night, you know, it's dark, and we're trotting along, and I could see the light from the house is shining across the yard, and it's all good, and out into the garage, and turn the light on, and go to the deep freeze, and pull out the hokey pokey. And on my way back, as I turned the light off, instantly there was a sense of like, oh, the hairs on the back of my neck would sort of stand up, because suddenly behind me is this pitch black room, right, and suddenly there's now something coming for me, right. So I quickly shut the door, and then I'd quickly make my way up the stairs and across the deck, and by the time I'd get to the house, I was in full sprint, you know, because the moment you start moving quickly, whatever it was in your mind that was there is now chasing you, right? And so, and I'm getting into the house, I run into the house and come in, and my sister's laughing at me right now, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And mum would be like, "Oh, you're running. You must be full of energy." And, "Yeah, yeah, just full of energy. Just really keen to have this ice cream." Yeah, it's awesome. And but it was because, you know, I didn't know what was there, and I was nervous, right? What was behind me? And so, but I remember there was times where I'd go out to the garage at night with my dad or my mum. Never any sense of fear. Do you know what I mean? If someone's with you, or the light's on, fine, easy, right? The moment you're by yourself, though, suddenly, gets a little bit nervous. David obviously knew about the same thing. He'd obviously gotten the ice cream from the garage a few times, and he said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," right, which is that way that you get to the garage, "I will fear no evil because you are with me," right? So he'd been accompanied by his parents to get the ice cream. clearly. Now, David was someone who knew that feeling of, or knew that place of the valley of the shadow of death, right? He spent a lot of time hiding in caves and running for his life, literally for his life, and not sure that today would be his, whether today would be his last, you know? He was being hunted down, and so he knew this, but he also knew how to go, how to position himself that even though I'm in this place, I'm not going to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid because I know you're with me. God is with me. And if that's all you got out of it, I want that to be it, that God's presence in our life is the key to peace. God's presence brings peace. And I think maybe Jesus knew this better than anyone else, how to have peace in very testing situations. There was a story of Jesus and his disciples. They hopped on a boat and they were off across a lake. And while they were traveling, the wind picked up and it turned into quite a storm. And it says the waves were beating against the boat and the disciples were freaking out. A few of these guys are seasoned fishermen, and they were scared of what was going on. And they go to find Jesus. Obviously, it was a huge boat, but they look, and there's Jesus asleep in the front of the boat, in the middle of a storm. And do you find that incredible, just the fact that he could sleep in a storm? And they get him up, Lord, I think he was just angry because he'd been woken up, but he's rebuked the storm. He's like, peace, be still, right? Because I'm trying to sleep. But, you know, he was extremely calm in testing situations. He was the kind of guy that, you know, Caiaphas was testing him, and he's just this kind of blank, calm as kind of responses. And the night before he died, he says to his disciples, they're hanging out together, and he knows exactly what's about to happen. And he says to them, he says, my peace I leave with you. I want to give you my peace. You know, that was what he wanted to impart to his disciples the night before he died. He could have been freaking out and going, we need to stage an uprising or something. But no, he was just like, and he said, don't worry about anything in this world. You know, you will have problems. Don't worry. I'm leaving you my peace. And then probably for me, one of the kind of the most horrific things about his crucifixion was when just as Jesus, who had known the presence of God his entire life, right? And he was so, so close with his Father. And there's that moment where he cries out. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's like, it's gone dark, and Jesus, for the first time in his life, was all alone. And it was like he had to die with that sense that no one was with him. And for me, that's one of the most impacting things about Jesus' death, was that it happened to him all alone. He didn't even have his Father with him. Normally he'd say, Father. He's like, my God, he's lost that connection with his Father. See, peace, it doesn't mean that we're ignorant of trouble around us either. It doesn't mean we bury our heads in the sand and go, nah, it's all good. It's all good. I'm at peace. That's fine, right? It's no, I know that things are tough right now, but God, you're with me. Maybe I can't feel you with me, but would you be with me here, Lord? You know, like, we need to learn. I need to learn to bring God into those situations, to welcome him in, to ask him to be with me. Ed's word a few weeks back, does anyone remember it? One thing stuck with me from, like, I was listening to the whole word, but one thing stuck with me, and that was this picture of us being like the aroma of Christ, like a fragrance, this beautiful smell. And as he was saying this, I was thinking, this is all about peace, because I'm processing this in my mind, right, because I'm preparing for this. So it's all about peace. And God's peace can be like an aroma that permeates through the atmosphere around us. That when we come into a room, when I come into a room with people, would they sense something of a settling in the spirit? Would God's presence be there? And people notice it. You notice a fragrance, don't you? You notice an aroma. See, peace doesn't just have to stay as that negative, empty term of the absence of fear. I need to learn to reframe the word peace into the presence of God, right? The presence of God permeating into the atmosphere wherever I am, wherever you are, wherever we are, that God would be felt and noticed and smelt there. It would leave kind of a lasting impression on people. You know, and it's only God's people that can bring this to the world. Governments can't bring the peace of God. Governments have been trying for thousands of years to bring peace, and all it ends is bloodshed. People die, uprisings, people get killed, right? It's just not real peace. I wonder, is that my role? Is that your role? Can I bring that to the world? Can I be that guy in the room who is willing to just say, hey, have you guys thought about this? Don't have to be super preachy about it, but just bring the presence of God quietly and like a fragrance, just permeating into the atmosphere. Andy then spoke a word about letting it fly. Does anyone remember the picture from Andy's word? Yeah, the bow and arrow, right? And so he showed us exactly how to be a professional archer. And as he was saying that word, I was thinking, this is all about peace. And because I'm thinking, peace is something we bring to the world, right? And Andy was talking about sort of firing, and you can get very specific, like an archer, right? It has a specific thing he's trying to do, which is hit a target and kill somebody. But I wondered, could we approach the peace of God like an archer? That we start to get really specific about areas that I'm going to bring the presence of God into. Not just like an aroma that just wafts randomly, is blown around by the wind, but something I'm going to be very targeted in the way that I approach that relationship or this conversation or just who I am at work or in my family. Can I get super specific? This is becoming even more of an intentional, positive, forward-moving word, peace. I love it that we can take a military picture of something that is designed to destroy and kill and turn it into, this is how we will bring the presence of God. This is how we will bring life and wholeness to people. Let's take that picture back. Let's take the archery thing back. See, I think it's something about our purpose. I think there's a reason that we're here. It's about bringing that presence of God into the world. And we bear that, we carry that, and we can bring it. Jesus, he said in Matthew 5, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God, the sons of God. And I've always sort of read that and gone, I don't really understand that. Keep going. Cool, well, sons of God, all right. But when I think about it like this, the way we're thinking this morning, sons of God, we are called sons of God because we bring peace. And why that is because that's what our Father would do. God, our Father, he is about bringing this kind of peace to the world, bringing it back. And so as sons and daughters of God, that's our duty, that's our job. We are kind of carrying on the family business or the family name, right? Like a chip off the old block. You're just like your dad. You know, by saying, but when we bring peace into this world, and that real peace, that wholeness, that completeness, restoration of people, that's what God does. And he wants us to be part of that. Like Marty said, let's not start practicing that when things start to get really rough. I wonder if we can make that a thing for the year of just, I am going to be real intentional about being the peacemaker here. Because it's so easy to just join in the discussion and moan and groan about different things or whatever. If I was to scroll back through all my Facebook posts, what would it look like? Would it look like somebody who's bringing a different perspective, bringing something of hope to people? Or would it be, oh, you'll never believe what happened today. I need a holiday. Right, constant just negative, right? Do we just do that, or can we go, no, I've got a different role here. I'm going to be the one that brings the peace, right? A sense of hope to people. Think about if we were to zoom back right out on the whole Bible, looking through, where do you think, where can you think of that is probably the most peaceful place in the story? Eden, yeah? Me too, right? That was where everything was perfect. It was set up. It was whole, complete. Something happened and it was damaged. It was broken, right? That peace, that completeness and fullness was broken. And it's like the whole Bible, the process is about restoring what was lost and what was broken. And so when Jesus arrived on the scene and he said, the kingdom of God is here and it's now, from that point on, his followers are saying, to bring that restoration to the world, to bring that wholeness and fullness, restoration. That's our job. And then when you look at the end of the story, heaven, it's like everything's been wrapped up again and it is complete and whole. There is that right relationship. We live with God, right? People live in harmony with each other and nature, right? It's a beautiful picture of things finally being restored and at peace, that true peace. I don't know, I kind of want to just probably finish there, but I'm taking it as something in me this year that something of my purpose, of our purpose, is to bring that completeness to the world, to bring a sense of the presence of God. And that because of that, people would start to feel like things are being repaired. Not pretending like everything's perfect, but that maybe we, together, be part of the restoration of people here in Whangaroa. That people would find themselves being put back together, their lives being put back together in whole, sound, in the days to come. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you, Lord, for your what you did, God, that you took it on yourself, Lord, to repair what was broken. And we want to accept that, Lord, and find that peace with you. And God, I pray that you would empower us and you would equip us individually, Lord, and corporately, Lord, to go out into this world, Lord, to permeate the atmosphere, God, with your presence. Would you speak into our hearts, Lord, and would you give us specific things, God, that you'd like us to bring your presence to, Lord, this week, this year. Help us to partner with you, Lord, and to bring your presence, Lord, and your wholeness, your completeness, God, your completeness to people's lives. Would you make us, Lord, agents of your peace? Fill us up afresh, Lord God, with your presence. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.